Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
Today on Family Talk.
We need to be thoughtful, like the people of Issachar, about what God's design is for today and push toward that, push toward building the kingdom of heaven here on earth today.
Welcome to Family Talk with psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and joining me in studio today is Aaron Brownback, a guest from the previous program, talking about a concept that has been destroying America for years and years and years, and you didn't even know about it. But there's a way that we can use this same type of technology, if you will, to restore biblical values in a culture that's kind of taken them for granted. And I'm talking about messaging. Aaron Brownback is the former director of marketing communications for the Sanctity of Life work at Alliance Defending Freedom. She has a master's degree in rhetoric and discourse from Carnegie Mellon University, also has a bachelor's degree in English and education from Westminster College, currently working on a PhD in social transformation. Aaron Brownback, welcome back to Family Talk.
Thanks, Roger. It's great to be here.
What does a PhD in social transformation look like? I mean, I'll have to be honest, when I first heard that before I got to know you, my thought was, this kind of sounds like gender studies or one of those degrees that is really great if you're just going to get a degree and then teach other people how to get that degree, you know, which we seem to have a lot of in academia. But the more I know you, obviously, social transformation will actually help people. So please talk about what a social transformation degree entails.
Sure. So what I've been studying are four major social movements that have been successful, and I've been looking at them to see what can we learn from them and how can we replicate those tactics to communicate the goodness of God's design for marriage and the family over the next several decades. So I've been looking at the civil rights movement and the same-sex activist movement. I've been looking at this No Smoking campaign and also Agenda 21, the UN's environmentalist campaign. And I've been pulling out how they've messaged those campaigns to create successful transformation, to change public perception around that social issue, and then how we can do the same and we can message God's design for the family.
That's a very succinct way of explaining that, which, of course, plays into the fact that you are gifted with this skill of messaging. So, I mean, the fact that you can explain that in 45 seconds or less, I think is very, very commendable.
Thank you.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up because all of those issues seem in the media to be presented as organic, grassroots. There are enough people who care about the environment. There are enough people who hate smoking. There are enough people who have gay relatives, you know, that type of thing, to where our minds fool us into thinking, I saw a bunch of college students passing out flyers and, you know, protesting and things like that. So this must be a thing that's kind of welling up in the hearts of the people, instead of saying, wait a minute, there are people behind the scenes who are making sure that the lawsuit gets filed, that the speech gets on CNN, you know, that type of thing. And they've got the right branding too. Even in our previous conversation, you had mentioned, I made a comment about the LGBT community, and you said, see, that branding right there. You know, it's not gay marriage anymore. It's the LGBT community. And why do they do such a good job of that branding, Aaron?
Well, I think for some of the reasons you just mentioned, they make it look like it's just organic and just grassroots. And, you know, to some degree, Roger, it is. There are people who are just kind of along for the ride. They care about these issues and they start using the language. But there are people who have strategically created this language, thoughtfully, intentionally put together campaigns that they have been carrying out for decades. I mentioned one in our previous conversation about the overhauling of Straight America, which you can Google. It's a 13-page article that was written to say, here's how we're going to message the same-sex agenda over the next several decades. And they've carried that out, and they've carried it out with a lot of commitment, and they have carried it out very successfully, as we've seen here in this last year or two. And they've done it really thoughtfully. So it's not just a groundswell welling up. They've done it with a lot of strategy behind it.
They're very, very intentional with this messaging.
Yes.
And they have the language to prove it, too, which is something that I find a lot of times in the body of Christ, we've been put on the defensive. Instead of saying, okay, why should we have same-sex marriage legalized? Now the question has been, why shouldn't we have? And it leaves a lot of us in the rank and file, you know, moms and dads saying, I don't know what to tell my child when my 7-year-old says, why not? I remember years ago when my daughters were in high school and my oldest daughter was getting ready to think about going to college, and a friend of hers was going to a school that had co-ed dorms. and Christian family, and this girl was going to have no trouble, she thought, just going and staying in a dorm. And my daughter was very matter-of-factly sharing it with me. And I asked her, well, what would you do in a situation like that? You know, inside, I'm thinking, please say no. And she looked at me and asked with a very straight and sincere face, she said, Dad, what would be the problem with me having a guy for a roommate? And it led to a really, really wonderful conversation. She's now happily married and teaches at a Christian school. But I realized in that moment that I had never thought as a parent that I'd have a child ask me a question like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized there are a lot of parents who are listening to us right now who are saying, oh, my goodness, this concept of messaging and the fact that there are people behind the scenes kind of puppet mastering this whole conversation, it's a real eye-opener to us, and it can be very, very daunting, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yes. You mentioned how we're often on the defensive. And that makes me think of a story, really profound story, that comes from something Howard Stern said was really profound in my life. So Howard Stern got a hold of a Christian cover band that put Christian lyrics to secular music like Bon Jovi and Michael Jackson. And they would sing about Jesus. And he played their music. And he said, you would think if their God were the creator of the universe, they'd be able to write their own music. And that was so profound to me. I feel like we are just so often in a posture of reaction. And part of that is from what we said in our previous conversation, that it has been very easy to be both a Christian and an American because those values have looked really similar. So we haven't really had to think about how to message what we've seen as normal and what we've seen as good. But now, as those ideas are diverging more, we have to be really intentional and thoughtful about how to communicate that. I think about conservatives. So progressives just want to progress no matter what that progress looks like. They just want to move forward anywhere, even if it takes us over a cliff. They ask, can we do it? They don't ask, should we do it? But conservatives, on the flip side, just want to conserve, just want to hold on to what we already have. We often will talk about the liberal news media as though we're shocked by that, but the news tells us about new things. So how could they possibly be conservative? Mm-hmm. How could they say marriage looks the same today as it did 50 years ago? Of course they're not going to message that. They'd go out of business.
That wouldn't be newsworthy. Right, yeah.
So we have to, as Christians, be children of a creator God and look at, what do we want the family to look like 20 and 30 years from now? And then be messaging toward that. If we don't carry out a strategic messaging plan, the plan that I am working on, if we don't carry out a plan like that, then we will lose God's design for the family in our culture. And we will lose the culture. We will lose the nation in response to that, because nations whose families collapse end up falling into decline and being oftentimes just obliterated.
Aaron Brownback is our guest in studio today here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and we're talking about messaging. We're talking about social transformation and things that have been happening to your family while you weren't even aware of it. The powers that be who have been working to chip away at the biblical standards that have been so readily accepted in our culture for years and years, because even if you don't believe in God, those values still work and have made our nation great. Now the progressive mindset that Aaron has been duly noting has been chipping away and chipping away with a marketing campaign, with a messaging campaign of sorts that is so subtle we don't even really realize it. Aaron, there is good news for those of us who are Christ followers, who have kids and maybe grandkids at some point. Not for me yet, but we're getting there. Realizing that there is some good news, and I know that when you worked with Alliance Defending Freedom, you were the director of marketing communications for their Sanctity of Life projects, I mean, which is kind of a grander way of saying you were an advocate for pro-life causes. And I want you to talk about how the messaging in the pro-life community, this is something that's very encouraging as to how the messaging that had been so bad in the culture, there's some good messaging that's been happening too.
Absolutely. There is good news. So in all of the campaigns that I've studied, it usually takes about 20 to 30 years until we start really seeing progress and fruition, and we see the message taking root in the culture. And you're seeing that now with a generation of young people who are more pro-life than have ever been before, since Roe v. Wade. The young people often will describe those who really advocate for abortion as sort of old, bitter feminists. And I'm not here to call names or, you know, sling insults. But there's this idea that that is the old and sort of sad way of looking at the life issue. And now this young generation is positive and full of life and forward-looking. And we're seeing our laws reflect that. So the courts and public policy, they are definitely downstream from culture. And in 2011, we saw more pro-life laws passed than had been passed in the previous 10 years combined. So we are seeing how the culture is impacting the world of policy and the courts. And there's definitely positive results from the messaging that's been going on in the pro-life world over the last 30 or so years.
Mm-hmm. So it's intentional, it's strategic, but it also does take time. And I'm glad you brought that up, because the fact that as this movement of younger America, I look to the baby boomers hitting the late 80s, early 90s and starting to have kids, all of those kids have grown up basically being pro-life. I mean, they were valued by their parents. They were loved. In some cases, they were idolized by their parents, which is probably a little unhealthy. But nonetheless, parents were so happy to have the kids that the kids are growing up thinking, why would anyone want to do anything to a baby? But it's natural messaging that was very, very intentional. And because of the messaging that we're seeing in a positive way, Aaron, you can take a bow for that because of the work that you did with ADF on the messaging for the good in terms of the pro-life movement.
Thank you, Roger. Yes. So at ADF, I had the opportunity to do large-scale message testing on Planned Parenthood, and also to create messaging on Obamacare. And we saw tremendous success with those campaigns. With Planned Parenthood, we tested public perception about what people thought and what would make them change their views of Planned Parenthood. And the number one thing that they said would change their perception of Planned Parenthood was to tie Planned Parenthood to profit. And we're seeing how the messaging around that has really impacted the culture. And we also communicated that the Obamacare issue was not just a Catholic and contraception issue. This was an issue about life-threatening procedures and policies that were going to impact everyone. And we changed, we got all of the allies together, and we changed the conversation about Obamacare. And we've also seen how that has played out. And I'm confident, as I've been working on the pro-family messaging plan, that we can do the same thing at a larger scale and really impact society over this next generation to see the goodness of God's design for marriage and the family.
Boy, you hit the nail on the head when you talked about how the pro-life community has been doing so much better once we shifted from I used to feel so bad for pro-life advocates, especially, who were doing sidewalk counseling. And you'd see them in front of the abortion clinic, and there was the argument going back and forth. And the signs were, this is a baby, this is a human being, this is morally wrong, et cetera, et cetera. And even Christian friends I knew would drive by and say, I really wish they wouldn't put those signs up there. But the minute the message became, hey, the abortion industry doesn't care about women or kids, all it cares about is money, it's interesting how more people began to see this for what it really is. And that is a great example, Aaron, of what you're talking about, how we as parents and grandparents can do a better job of messaging. What do you do with a child? What do you recommend, Aaron, in terms of like a parent who sees something, you know, some kind of display on television, or maybe even you're driving through your neighborhood and you see people out, you know, with the right kind of messaging? How do you bring that into the conversation? What do you recommend?
You know, first of all, I would just recommend that you talk with your children about the issues that you see. Don't think that they're going to see something on TV or hear something in a song and just not know what it's about. It is going to impact them. I can remember my mom asking my brother and me while we were in the car driving somewhere. We had the radio on. We were teenagers. And she said, what is every song on the radio about? And we were kind of like, oh, Mom. No. But we thought about it and we said, you know, it's all about romance. Every single song we were listening to was about romance. And there was this message of, you know, creating sort of a longing for that romantic interaction or a defining of what romantic interaction looked like. She just did a great job of talking with us about that and talking with us about commercials on television. Oh, do you really think that what it's promising is what it's really going to offer, whatever they're advertising? So be really thoughtful about talking with your kids about the issues that you see. My dad, I can remember him saying to me many years ago, we are seeing homosexual characters on television, even though they're being laughed at, they're on there to make people become more comfortable just because they're familiar. And that's exactly part of what the same-sex messaging plan included, just to become visible and then to become normalized. So really talk with your kids about that and teach them language. teach them what words they should be using. So it's not just the culture that's teaching them what to say. It's not just the school that's teaching them what to say, but it's you that's teaching them what to say.
Aaron Brownback is with us today here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and we're talking about messaging in the culture, not text messaging per se, though that's a part of it, using social media, but the messages that the culture has been sending to your kids, to your church, to your marriage about what's normal and what's right and what's good, and how those messages have been literally destroying the family brick by brick and going after biblical values too. Okay, you talked about messaging there, Aaron, and using the right kind of language, but I'm a parent who says, this is the first time I'm hearing about this, and I really don't know what to say. I really don't know what to do. You know, I mean, I'm thrilled about the pro-life example. That was a great one, saying when we moved from it's a baby to these people are making profit off of the killing of kids, now the profit margin became the message that people are really resonating with. Where do we start? Because we've got a big voice. If we can find the right words, if we can find the right language, what are ways that we can be more intentional in our messaging with our kids and in our families?
So in the messaging plan that I've put together and that I've been working to implement, one of the things that is critical is that our message is positive, that it's forward thinking, that it describes what we want to see happen and what we believe will happen and what we believe is good. A lot of times, conservatives and Christians are in a posture of reaction and response. And we see those who oppose God's design for the family pushing in a certain direction, and we try to run around in front of them and push back. Well, that's not helpful. That's not healthy. It's not even biblical. We do not push back as Christians. The Bible started in the garden and ends in the city. We don't ever go back to the garden. We need to be thoughtful, like the people of Issachar, about what God's design is for today and push toward that, push toward building the kingdom of heaven here on earth today. So with your kids, be really thoughtful about how to communicate. Here's how we can see God's design developing and what it would look like in our culture and how we can participate in bringing that about.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing that a lot in the pro-life community, Aaron. I think of one organization that you and I have both done some work with that has a positive alternative to the protest, if you will, at the abortion clinic. I'm talking about the mobile transportation medical units that provide free pregnancy tests and free ultrasounds and do so in a very, very positive way. It's amazing how they have the same goals as a lot of people with the signs and the bullhorns, but they're having much more success with the messaging is so positive. As a matter of fact, I know that in one case, there's an abortion clinic that says, I love when that bus shows up because it makes my life a lot easier. You know, and you'd think, well, the bus is, it's pro-life. I mean, it's diametrically opposed to what an abortion clinic wants, but even the abortionist sees the positive message, the gentle tone of voice, and the need that is being met with the fact that these women who can go on the bus can get a free ultrasound, which they can't get at the abortion clinic. So it's interesting to watch that kind of marriage play out, but it plays into your point of saying, keep the message positive.
Yes. I've had the tremendous blessing of working with a lot of great organizations, great pro-life organizations, pro-family organizations. I've consulted with the Attorney General of Texas. I've gotten to write messaging for Congress on the redirection of funding from Planned Parenthood to more holistic health care. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to work with a lot of just great pro-life groups, like you're mentioning, like Students for Life, which just hit 1,000 groups on college campuses, which is great. We are such a pro-life generation. We're outnumbering the Planned Parenthood campus groups 4-1. And I got to work with Save the Storks recently, which you mentioned, with the mobile medical units. And they just have a really positive, forward-looking message about how do we take care of women in society? Mm-hmm. So women who are facing an untimely pregnancy, how do we meet them at their points of need and rally around them as a culture and as a Christian community to provide so that they can help to take care of their own children, and that we can be a culture of life that takes care of the children that are born into our society?
There are those, Aaron, who would push back and say, okay, but if I bring that message to the culture, some people aren't going to want to hear it. They're not going to like it. You know, my kid's going to get laughed at, or, you know, my neighbors are going to think I'm strange if I bring that kind of message. How do we become more resilient in sharing the message, because the message is good news. I mean, it's all very good news. God's plan A for us is perfect, and we want that as a standard. We don't want to lose our standards. But in a culture where so many people have been blindfolded and brainwashed, what are some ways that we can, you know, develop more of a backbone?
You know, it is good news, Roger. We have the truth, and people resonate with the truth when they hear it. And if you think about the creation of the world, God spoke the world into being. He created with words, and I believe we're called to do the same. I believe that when we communicate, when we message, the words that we say create reality, and we need to create the reality of God's design here on earth. We need to say, this is what holistic marriage looks like, what procreative marriage looks like. This is what is a healthy design for gender and for parenting and for life. And the more we communicate that with confidence, like I want to do, like I want us all to participate in over this next generation of communicating this strategic message of the goodness of God's design for the family, the more we do that and the more we do it with confidence, the more it becomes reality in our society.
And the encouraging thing for us as Christ followers, Aaron, to follow up what you're saying is when we speak those words, it's not like we had to come up with the words. We're using the Word of God, which spoke marriage into existence, which spoke life into existence, which spoke creation into existence, too. We're just echoing His words. So we're just a nice echo and a good reflection of Him if we're getting it right. So that takes all the pressure off of us, doesn't it?
Well, you know, it takes a lot of pressure off of us. We still need to stand up with great courage, and we need to speak when it's hard to speak at times. But, you know, Roger, there's some other really positive news. So cultures that have gone through this similar kind of decline in the family throughout history have typically gone through this over a period of a couple of hundred years. We are going through it much more quickly. A big part of why that is because of mass communications, just like what we're doing right now. When people can get information, bad ideology passes much more quickly from person to person. But I believe there's actually an advantage to that happening in our culture. So it's been about 50 or 55 years since the sexual revolution and since the messaging of sexual brokenness, which is what you're seeing in the gender area, in the marriage area, in the life area. We're seeing this sexual brokenness has been messaged and communicated as really the new ideal. But because it's happened so quickly, we have a lot of people who remember. Who remember what God's design looks like and how that gets played out in society. And we have a lot of people in positions of influence who still remember and are willing to stand up and who are willing to communicate. And so we're in a different place than any culture that I'm aware of throughout history, because when it's happened over a couple of hundred years and it's been more of a slow decline, people forget. But because we still remember, I believe that that puts us in a position of potentially jumping over this decline to a place of building toward what the kingdom looks like here on earth. And if we can do that, we'll be the only country that I know of that's done that. But I believe it's something that we can do.
So the slide that we've been going through culturally hasn't been long enough to the point where we can't reverse the trend.
You know, Roger, I'm really thoughtful about the language I use. Obviously, that's what we're talking about. So I actually wouldn't talk about reversing anything.
Okay.
I don't think we're called to reverse. I think we're called to move forward creatively and forward thinking and say, okay, we're not going to go back to the 50s. We're not going to go back to Leave It to Beaver. We are going to look at how the family looks in society today, and we are going to message to that.
Excellent. I can't think of a better way to wrap things up here. Aaron Brownback, thanks for being with us today on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, this program was a great reminder that words have power. God spoke the world into existence with words. And we've seen again and again how words have shaped our culture right here in the present day as well. That's what makes Aaron Brownback's message so strong. I'm Roger Marsh, filling in for Dr. Dobson today. You can learn more about the long-term strategic plan that Erin is developing to communicate God's design for the family when you go to her website, erinbrownback.com, and we'll have a link on our website at drjamesdobson.org as well. Before we sign off for today, I want to remind you that Family Talk is a listener-supported program. So if you've been blessed by today's program, or if you've been highly informed by it, even if you've been challenged a little bit by the broadcast today, I want you to please consider how you can support our commitment to bring you excellent programs, tools, and resources, not just today, but every day. Call us at 877-732-6825 or visit our website at drjamesdobson.org and find out how you can stand with us financially. Please know how much we appreciate your financial support, and thanks so much for that. We will see you again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Join us then.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Meg Meeker here. Are you on the go without much time to log into all of your social media pages? Twitter is a great way for staying informed on the things that matter to you with just a quick look at your phone. Follow Dr. James Dobson, FT, and receive great tips, resources, and information that is important to you in short and simple tweets. Again, that's Dr. James Dobson, capital F, capital T.